of spirit. Okay, I said, although I was still confused. How exactly do we do that? This is the part you're not going to like, she said. The final part is the easy part. Once the portal is strengthened by the binding, Nicole will have to touch it and fill it with spirit to seal it and make the binding permanent. But it's the binding that's more complex. She paused, her eyes dimming, and she rested a hand on top of Chris's gravestone. She looked more vulnerable than I'd imagined possible for a primordial deity. I could barely breathe as I stared at her, waiting for her to go on. The others were silent as well. To bind the portal, one mortal with physical elemental magic has to be on the earth side of the portal, and the other has to be on the Kerberos side, she continued. Together, they will press their palms over their side of the portal and fill it with their earthly elemental magic. This will temporarily bind the portal, returning it to full strength, so Nicole can seal it to keep it that way.
Okay,
Blake nodded.
So one of us has to enter Kerberos again. Since Kate is a goddess and can't pass through the portal, it'll have to be either me or Danielle. Then, once we finish binding it, we'll return to Earth.
It won't be that easy, Nick said sadly. Because once the portal is bound, it'll be strengthened again. Passing back through will be impossible.
Chapter 34.
Whoever went to the other side of the portal would never be able to return. The realization hit me like a ton of bricks, and my mind raced, desperate for another solution. Why do we have to bind the portal at all? I asked. Why can't I seal it with my magic as it is right now?
You cannot. Nyx shook her head. You went against my instructions and tried that in another timeline. We learned that if you seal the portal before the binding, you'll seal it in the weakened condition that it's in right now, which means monsters will still be able to cross through it at will. In that timeline, the Titans eventually crafted a way to blast through the weakened portal and take over the Earth. Once that happened, Kronos allowed me to pass through a time portal to try again.
So you're saying that one of us has to volunteer to bind the portal from the Kerberos side, and that person will end up stuck there forever, Danielle clarified. Correct?
Yes, Nyx answered. I wish there were another way, but unfortunately, no war is ever won without sacrifice. There's no other option.
We don't know that, I said. There's still time to figure out something else. We have months until the summer solstice.
3 months, Kate jumped in.
And the longer you wait, the more monsters will escape through the portal, Nick said. It's best to seal it sooner rather than later.
I know that. I clenched my fists, determined not to give in that easily. But what if we can research and figure out another way to close the portal? A way that doesn't involve one of us getting stuck in Kerberos forever. I swallowed back tears, desperate to find a solution. Because like Blake had said, the person in Kerberos would have to be either him or Danielle. I had a dreadful feeling that Blake would try to be brave and volunteer. I couldn't let that happen. I'd just gotten him back. I couldn't lose him again.
You said the same thing before, Nick said. You found nothing. This is the only time a portal to another world has been opened from Earth, so there was no information on the subject. But you decided to try sealing the portal without binding it anyway. Like I said, it did not work.
If this is the only time a portal has been opened to another world from Earth, then how do you know this is the only way we can seal it? I asked.
I'm a primordial deity, Nyx reminded us, as if we needed reminding. Which means I don't just rule over Earth. I rule over all the planets in the universe. Portals to other worlds have been opened on other planets before. Binding the portal with the elements from one of the planets and then sealing it with spirit is the only way to close it.
I wish I had another answer for you, but I don't. I'm sorry.
I thought we couldn't even access our powers from Kerberos, Danielle said. If we can't access our powers, how are we supposed to use them to bind the portal?
As long as you're touching the portal, you'll be able to use your powers, Nyx answered. But the moment the portal is sealed, that connection will be severed.
You knew the portal couldn't be sealed without our help, I said, unable to keep the anger from my tone. So why did you create it at all?
The Titans had already escaped Tartarus, the one place in the underworld of Earth that's supposed to be inescapable, Nyx said. During the Second Rebellion, I saw two possible futures for Earth. A bright one, full of the greatest technological innovation I've ever witnessed. Or a dark one, full of chaos and destruction. The former was what would happen if the Olympians won. And the latter was what would happen if the Titans won. I wanted the Olympians to win. So I interfered, creating the portal to Kerberos and helping them lock the Titans inside. Then I closed the portal. But I knew it wouldn't last forever. That permanently sealing it would have to wait until it weakened enough for mortals to pass through. Now it's your responsibility to complete what I started all of those thousands of years ago, to ensure that the Titans remain in Kerberos forever.
Okay, Danielle nodded. If she was scared, she didn't show it. I suppose, on one level, I can understand that. But why did you wait until now to tell us? Why not tell us earlier, so we had more time to research other options or to prepare?
Telling you earlier wouldn't have changed the inevitable, Nyx said. There was no point in worrying about who would bind the portal without knowing which of you would survive to this point. Plus, knowing earlier only would have made everything harder for you. It would have distracted you from your previous missions.
Let me guess how you know this, I said, past caring about being snarky to a goddess. She might have put us in this position, but it didn't mean we had to be happy about it. You told us earlier in another timeline, and it didn't work out?
Yes, Nyx nodded. In that timeline, you all became distracted and reckless. By this point, you were all dead, so the portal could not be closed.
If we keep failing, why do you always choose to give us powers over the elements? Kate asked. Why not choose some other mortals? Ones who won't give you this much trouble.
As I explained earlier, the five of you are uniquely suited to controlling your elements, Nyx said. Witches are rare enough, let alone witches with your precise bloodlines and temperaments. There is no one else to choose. She paused to look at each of us, her eyes dark and serious. I know this is a lot for you to process, but remember, the world is counting on you to make the right decision. This responsibility is yours, and yours alone. Then she swished her dress around herself, and she was gone.
Chapter 35.
Nyx wasn't all that had disappeared. The Book of Shadows was gone as well. Now that she'd given us our final task, apparently she didn't think we needed it as a direct line to ask her questions anymore. I swallowed, not knowing what to do.
Sacrificing either Blake or Danielle to Kerberos couldn't be the only way to keep the Titans from destroying the Earth. Or at least, that's what I wanted to believe. But I had a sinking feeling that Nyx was telling us the truth.
I wish it could be me.
Kate broke the silence, resting her hand on top of Chris's gravestone.
After all, I'm not even supposed to be here. I was supposed to have died back when we fought Medusa.
No, I gasped, shocked that it had even crossed her mind. You're supposed to be right here, where you are now. I have no idea what the future has in store for you, but whatever it is, you'll do great things. I know it.
Thanks.
She smiled, although it didn't reach her eyes.
But if I could walk through that portal, I would volunteer in a heartbeat.
I knew she meant it.
But I supposed that level of self-sacrifice was what made Kate qualified to successfully complete the apotheosis,
while most others were not. Whatever she chose to stand for as a goddess, she would be giving to the good of the Earth long past when the rest of us were gone. She was going to do great things with her immortal life. She belonged here, not in Kerberos. None of us belonged in Kerberos. But either Blake or Danielle would be stuck there anyway. It wasn't fair. Why did we have to go through so much, only to be forced into an impossible decision like this one?
I wish Chris was here.
Kate spoke again, looking sadly at his gravestone.
He would crack some kind of joke that would make this situation feel not as dark and daunting.
He might try, I said. But I don't think even Chris could make this feel any less difficult than it is.
I miss him,
Kate said, wrapping her arms around herself.
We spent a lot of time together in the past week. When we were together. But I never got to tell him how I felt about him. I was going to wait until this was all over. But now he'll never know.
He knew, Danielle said, as confident as ever.
And he felt the same way about you. Maybe,
Kate shrugged.
But it couldn't have worked out between us anyway. After all, I'm immortal now. He wasn't. I was going to have to watch him die sooner or later.
She gazed out at the statue of Zeus, her eyes distant. I just wish it hadn't been so soon, I said.
Me either,
she said, snapping back into focus.
But none of that matters, because he's gone, and he's never coming back. All we can do now is move forward.
You're right, Blake agreed, stepping forward. We need to close that portal as soon as possible. And we won't have to worry about the big decision, because I've already made it. I'm going to be the one to bind the portal from Kerberos. Chapter 36. No! I grabbed onto his hand, as if that would be enough to make him stay. I just got you back. If you do this, you'll be gone. Forever. I'll never be able to see you again. I stared up at him and blinked away tears, begging him to take it back. But I knew deep in my heart that he wouldn't.
There are only two options for who can close the portal from Kerberos,
Danielle reminded me.
Me or Blake? Are you saying that you want me to be the one to do it?
No, I stuttered, since it was the truth. I don't want either of you to do it.
That's not an option, she said. One of us has to do it. And I wouldn't blame you if you wanted it to be me.
I didn't reply this time. Because as much as I wanted to tell her she was wrong, I couldn't.
Yes, Danielle and I had learned to work together, and we didn't completely hate each other anymore. But I loved Blake. If one of them had to sacrifice themselves, I didn't want it to be him. But he'd already offered himself, and I didn't expect Danielle to volunteer anytime soon. We had to figure out something else. If you're closing the portal from the Kerberos side, then I'm going with you, I told Blake. Nick said I have to use spirit to seal the portal, but she didn't say which side of the portal I had to be on to do that. So I'll do it from the Kerberos side. I won't let you get stuck there alone.
Think about what you're saying.
Blake took both of my hands in his eyes sad and resolved.
Sealing the portal will stop the war. But all of those creatures who escaped between the time the portal first opened and the time we closed it will still be out there. Not to mention the fact that all of the demigods who recently had their powers awakened, who knows how many of them there are, will need to learn about who they are and what they can do. You can help them. The world needs you here, Nicole. Not in Kerberos. You can't sacrifice yourself unnecessarily.
Maybe you're right, I told him. But I need you here. So if I need you here, and the world needs me here, then that means you have to stay here too.
You don't need me.
He smiled sadly, tracing his thumb over my cheekbone.
You might want me here with you, but you're strong. You'll be able to move on without me. You'll have to.
You're wrong. I shook my head, and unable to stop the tears anymore, the floodgates opened. I can't let you do this. Not after I just lost you and got you back. We've been through so much together. I can't imagine my future without you in it.
You'll have to,
he said.
Because if I don't do this, then there won't be any future for the world at all. And what about your family? Your mom, your stepdad, your sister, and even Apollo. Do you really want to leave them when you don't have to?
You have a family too, I told him. I'm sure you don't want to leave them either.
I don't have a choice,
he said.
You do.
I glanced at Danielle, wishing she would step up and volunteer herself. Shouldn't she feel guilty that Blake volunteered and she was letting him walk into that hell world without even contemplating to sacrifice herself? The two of them had dated for months. Their relationship had fallen apart, but she'd cared for him at one point. That had to mean something. But she refused to meet my eyes, and she said nothing. Even if there was a part of her that still cared about Blake, there was one person she cared about more. Herself. After all these past weeks of fighting to save the world, I thought she would have changed. Clearly, I was wrong. She was just as selfish as ever.
There has to be another option, Kate said, finally breaking the silence.
There's not. I couldn't keep the anger from my tone. Nick said there wasn't. The only other option is for Danielle to volunteer. But she's too selfish to do that when Blake's already volunteered to take the fall for her.
That's not fair.
Danielle jutted her chin out.
We have weeks until the portal opens. You can't ask me to volunteer when I've barely had time to think this through.
Every day that the portal remains weakened, more monsters can come through, I reminded her.
We can fight them, she insisted. I would rather do that than volunteer to trap myself in a hell dimension for all of eternity without taking time to think about it.
Blake volunteered, I said. He volunteered the moment he heard it was the only way to save the world.
And you volunteered to follow him right in there, she sneered. Sorry that we can't all be as noble or as impulsive.
Stop it!
Kate rubbed her temples, as if listening to us was giving her a headache.
Fighting isn't going to get us anywhere. But there has to be another option. One that doesn't involve sacrificing another one of us. What we need to do is think.
About what? I asked. Nix already told us that there's no other option. We've searched and tried in other timelines. We were never able to come up with anything. Why would that change now?
Then we need to outthink ourselves, Kate said. What's the first place we would go to look for answers?
The new Alexandrian library, Danielle answered quickly. Easy.
Then we have to assume that we've already checked there in another timeline, Kate said. So where else can we look?
We could ask the head elders from each territory, Blake suggested. Maybe they would have other ideas about where to look for answers.
Good idea, Kate nodded. Now let's assume that in another timeline, we've tried that as well. Where should we look next?
Olympus, I piped in, instinctively grabbing my sun pendant. The Olympians might have ideas that we wouldn't think of ourselves.
They might, Kate said. But in another timeline, we probably came to the same conclusion.
And the primordial deities would know more than the Olympians, Danielle added, since they're more powerful.
I narrowed my eyes at her, taking a deep breath to calm myself and stop myself from trying to strangle her. How had I managed to get along with her for the past few weeks? She was just as awful as she'd been when I first moved to Kinsley. I'd just been so focused on completing our mission that I'd been blinded to what a horrible, selfish person she was. At least I now knew better than to let that happen again. We threw out another round of ideas. But again, Kate kept saying that we'd likely tried them already. We needed to think outside of the box. She made it sound so easy. But who knew more than the primordial deities themselves? That was when it came to me. The Oracle. I looked at each of them, knowing this idea was better than any we'd had yet. The gods might not be able to see the exact future, but the Oracle can. Chapter 37.
The Oracle would have an answer for us.
Kate chewed on her lower lip.
But the Oracle's dead. She's been dead for thousands of years.
But she's in the underworld, Danielle added. She wasn't locked in Kerberos.
True.
Kate stared at Danielle, her eyes wide.
But we can't just march into the underworld and chat with her. In all of history, only a handful of people have journeyed there and back.
Why not add one more person to that list? I asked. After everything we've been through, I don't see why marching into the underworld to chat with the Oracle is that far-fetched of an idea.
Are you volunteering? Danielle asked. Because you know that if you go down to the underworld, there's no knowing if you'll be allowed back up to Earth. And without you here, it'll be impossible to seal the portal.
Even more of a reason why it should be me that goes, I said. We've heard from both Nix and Erebus that if the Titans come back to Earth, they'll destroy everything in this dimension, including the underworld. Which means that Hades, the king of the underworld, wants the portal sealed just as much as the gods up on Olympus. He'll have no choice but to let me back up to Earth.
Not just you.
Blake stepped up to my side.
You're not going down there alone. I'm going with you.
You already volunteered to bind the portal from Kerberos. I could barely get the words out, hating that they were the truth. You can't risk yourself by going to the underworld, too.
Yes, I can, he said. They need me back on Earth if they want that portal closed, too. If you're going, I'm going. No questions about it.
There's one big flaw in your logic, Kate said, holding a hand up. What if the Oracle does know about another way to close the portal? And what if that way doesn't involve both of you needing to be there?
I bit my lip, unable to come up with an answer. Because, as always, Kate had a good point. It looked like we were back to square one. But then the ground swirled nearby, until the dust was as tall as a person, clearing to reveal a beautiful woman. She wore a long green dress, and flowers were woven through her long red hair. I'd never met her before, but due to her dramatic entrance and divine appearance, I figured it was safe to assume that she was a goddess.
You won't need to worry about not being allowed back to Earth, because I will accompany you to the underworld and make sure you're returned here safely, she said, her lips turning up in a smile. And Hades certainly won't refuse my request, because I am his wife, the queen of the underworld.
Chapter 38 Persephone?
Kate blinked, staring up at the goddess.
Yes.
The goddess smiled, seemingly pleased that Kate was able to identify her so quickly.
You must be Kate. The transition to being a goddess suits you nicely. Once our business with ending the war with the Titans is finished, I do hope that we'll become friends.
Kate opened her mouth, closed it, and then nodded in return. Apparently, being acknowledged by a goddess as an equal had left her speechless.
How did you know we needed help?
Danielle asked Persephone, getting straight to business.
In the past, it's only been the primordial deities who've come to us spontaneously. We've always needed to call the Olympians when we wanted to speak with them.
It's true that we are not omniscient, Persephone said. We cannot be everywhere at once. However, since your return to Kinsley, the messenger god Hermes has been keeping an eye on you. He came to fetch me the moment you started discussing journeying to the underworld, and he told me of your plan. I spent half the year in the underworld and the other half on Earth, and I just returned from my time on Earth. I treasure my time on Earth, but I think your plan is a good one, so I'm here to help.
You'll take me and Nicole to the underworld to speak with the Oracle?
Blake asked.
Don't forget me and Kate, Danielle added. If this is happening, we're going too.
She turned to Kate, her brow raised in question.
Right?
Kate wrung her hands together, looking deep in thought.
As much as I would be curious to visit the underworld and speak with the Oracle, I don't think us joining would be the best use of our time, she said. Remember, we only have a few weeks to figure out a solution. It makes the most sense to split up into pairs to try to figure out an alternative way to seal the portal. While Blake and Nicole are in the underworld, we should be researching other options.
Very wise, Persephone nodded. Spoken like a true descendant of Athena.
She smiled at Kate, and then turned to me and Blake.
I also cannot promise that Hades will allow you to speak with the Oracle. I can support your request, and I expect him to fully consider it, but it's not guaranteed. I will, however, do everything in my power to urge him to listen.
Thank you, I told her. We appreciate your help very much. And if Hades doesn't listen to your request, then we'll just have to go against his wishes and find the Oracle ourselves. Although, of course, I didn't say that last part out loud. We would deal with that if it came to it. But I didn't think it would, because from the fire in Persephone's eyes when she looked at me and Blake, I guess that she would do everything in her power to provide us an audience with the Oracle. So, how do we get to the underworld? I asked her. Can you portal us there?
Portals cannot be created to or within the underworld, she answered.
If the souls there could create portals out of their assigned realms, it would be utter chaos. Instead, we must portal to the in-between, and the ferryman will transport us to the gates. She raised her hands in the air, and then, right next to Chris's grave, a swirling portal appeared. Chapter 39. The portal was dark blue, like the ocean, and I couldn't see through it. What if Persephone was sending us to the underworld and didn't intend on coming with us? What if she refused to bring us back home? I wanted to trust her. But recently, I'd learned not to blindly trust anyone, even if they seemed like they were on your side. Before jumping, I had to make sure this wasn't a trap. "You'll definitely bring us back to Kinsley when we're ready to come home?" I asked Persephone. "You swear it upon Zeus?" "Yes," the goddess nodded. "I swear upon Zeus that I will bring you and Blake back to Kinsley when you're ready. I will even step through the portal to the in-between first to show you that I don't intend to abandon you." Without waiting for our response, she stepped through the portal, disappearing from view. Blake and I looked at each other, and he grabbed my hand. I looked down at our intertwined fingers, sadness filling my heart. How much longer would he be here with me? Had I fallen in love with him, only to lose him forever, after not nearly enough time spent together? But I straightened, forcing the dark thoughts from my mind. We were going on this mission to find another way to save the world, a way that wouldn't involve Blake having to sacrifice himself.
"Ready?"
he asked me, his eyes intense and serious. "Ready," I answered. And together, we stepped through the portal. Chapter 40. The ground disappeared beneath my feet, and I was falling down a dark hole. My stomach rose into my throat, and I screamed, falling further and further, with no signs of stopping. I'd never gone skydiving before, but I imagined this was what it was like. Except while skydiving, you could see what was around you, and you had a parachute. We were just free falling down to the in-between, blind, with no idea when we would stop. I held tightly onto Blake's hand as I fell. In those terrifying moments, he was all that existed to me in this empty, dark world. If he ended up stuck in Kerberos, what would I do without him? Tears escaped my eyes at the thought, but I was falling so quickly that they dried right off my cheeks, as if they'd never existed at all. Then, when it felt like we'd been falling forever and would never stop, my feet landed softly on the ground. I looked around to get my bearings. I was standing at the bank of an underground river. Fog rose from the water, dampness filling the air. A canoe was banked on the ledge closest to us, and a man in a hooded cape stood at the back of it, holding a single oar. The cape hid the majority of his body. All I could see of him was a pair of glowing red eyes. Persephone stood in front of him, looking out of place in the dark cave. "Hello, Karen," she greeted the hooded man, pulling 3 golden coins out of a pocket in her dress and handing them to him. "One coin for each of us, as per your usual fare."
"That is my usual fare,"
he said, his voice low and craggly.
"However, those 2 mortals do not belong in the underworld."
He pointed to me and Blake and jammed his oar into the ground.
"They are still alive. I only transport the souls of those who have passed on. You, my queen, should be well aware of the rules."
Persephone reached back into her pocket and pulled out 2 more coins.
Will you transport them for twice the normal fare? She asked. He eyed up the coins, his eyes glowing brighter.
I do not break the rules for simply anyone,
he said, his focus still on the money.
However, for 5 times the normal fare, I will agree to it this once.
You drive a hard bargain.
Persephone kept her gaze level with us. But I am your queen, and I do not appreciate being taken advantage of. 3 times the regular fare seems like an agreeable compromise, does it not?
Fine,
he grunted.
But pay up now, before I change my mind.
She handed him the extra coins, and he counted them, taking his time to make sure each one was there. Once finished, he moved his oar aside so we could step on board. His movements were slow, like an old man. How could he have the strength to row us down the river? But Persephone trusted him, and I trusted that she wouldn't lead us astray. She motioned for us to board first, and Blake held out his hand to assist me stepping onto the canoe. I instinctively reached to take it, but then I pulled back, because soon there was a chance that Blake wouldn't be here for me any longer. And even though stepping onto the canoe was a small thing, I needed to prove to myself that I didn't need his help, that I would be fine without him. But as I stepped on board and settled into the seat, I knew I was lying to myself. I wouldn't be fine without him. I might be able to convince everyone else that I was moving on, but I would always wonder what could have been if he hadn't sacrificed himself. Why had he been so quick to offer himself to bind the portal from Kerberos? It wasn't fair of me to be angry at him for it, but I couldn't help myself. I couldn't even look at him as the canoe started to make its way down the river. The fact that he'd sacrificed himself so quickly hurt. Why was he so willing to leave me? Did he not love me as much as I loved him? I curled my legs up to my chest and wrapped my arms around them, looking out at the foggy river as we rowed along. I knew I was being silly. Of course Blake loved me. But it was impossible to stop the doubt from creeping into my mind. His offering to sacrifice himself felt like he'd ripped out a piece of my heart, and I didn't know if it would be possible to repair. Because even if we found another way, and he didn't have to sacrifice himself, he'd offered after barely taking any time to think about it. He was okay with the idea of leaving me, and he didn't want me to go with him. That hurt more than I could ever possibly say. He scooted closer to me, his shoulder touching mine.
Are you cold?
He asked, running his hands along my arm.
You have goosebumps.
I'm fine. I pulled my arm away from him, his touch only making my heart hurt more. His eyes darkened. I could tell that I was hurting him, but I didn't know what else to do or say to him right now. So I did the first thing that crossed my mind. I changed the subject. Where are we now? I asked Persephone, turning around to look at her. How much longer until we reach the underworld?
We're traveling along the Acheron River, Persephone replied. Charon transports the souls of the dead along the river until reaching the gates of the underworld.
So that's where we're heading to now? I said. To the gates?
Yes,
she nodded.
It should only take about an hour to arrive.
A soft wailing filled the area, and I looked around, trying to see where it was coming from. There was nothing there, except for the fog, of course. But then I heard it again, and I knew I couldn't be imagining it. What was that? I asked, the goosebumps on my arms rising further. You all heard that, right? That crying sound? Like someone's hurt. Another cry, This one, a scream, filled the air. I turned to Persephone, since surely she must have heard it that time, and waited for an answer.
The Acheron is also known as the River of Pain.
She was as calm as ever as she explained, as if she were a teacher taking us on a field trip.
The river is the embodiment of all the suffering throughout the earth, and the cries of those in pain echo across its waters. But do not be alarmed, as the river will not bring you any pain. It washes away the pain of all those who immerse themselves within its waters. But please, don't jump in yourselves. Many who do become so content with the numbness that they remain in limbo, stuck in its depths forever.
I scooted to the edge of the boat and looked down into the water. It was covered in fog, so thick that I could barely see the surface. What I could see of the surface was dark. The water in this river must run deep. Did the river only heal physical pain? Or did it heal emotional pain too? I rested my arm on the ledge of the boat, tempted to dip my fingers in and see what happened. If the waters of Acheron could help me feel like my heart wasn't about to break into pieces, I needed to know. The fog danced around my hand, and I lowered my arm further, ready to dip my fingers into the water and find out for myself.
Chapter 41.
What are you doing?
Blake wrapped his hand around my wrist and pulled my arm back into the boat, his eyes flashing with concern.
Didn't you hear Persephone? That water is dangerous.
Only if we jump in. I yanked my hand out of his grip and dropped it into my lap. I was just going to touch it. Nothing would have happened.
You can't just go dipping your fingers into the rivers of the underworld.
He clenched his fists and took a few breaths to calm himself.
Promise me you won't try anything like that again, okay?
He asked.
If anything happened to you.
He shook his head, his eyes pained at the thought.
I won't be able to live with myself if anything bad happens to you while we're here.
I turned away from him, refusing to make him that promise. Why should I? He was the one offering to sacrifice himself to Kerberos, and he had the nerve to tell me that he wouldn't be able to live with himself if anything would happen to me? It made no sense. Because why did he think that I would be any less affected by his loss than he would be by mine? We spent the rest of the ride down the river in silence. As I looked around, listening to the cries and screams echoing across the water, all I could think about was Blake ending up in Kerberos, and the pain and grief that he would suffer while there. No one aged in Kerberos, so he would be trapped there for eternity. And if he did die while there, he would go to the underworld of Kerberos, not to the underworld of Earth. The underworld of Kerberos was worse than the deepest pits of Tartarus. I couldn't let Blake end up in Kerberos. The Oracle had to have another option for us. She just had to. But if she didn't, what would we do then? I had to stop worrying about it. I needed to think about everything one step at a time. Right now, my focus had to be on speaking to the Oracle and getting an answer. But it was impossible to relax. And as we rolled down the river, my mind was on an endless loop of worrying about the future. Our boat turned a corner, and the appearance of a gigantic three-headed dog straight ahead snapped me back into focus. The dog towered over the river, its paws on both sides, so its body created a bridge overhead, its yellow eyes staring down at us. It sniffed as we moved closer, lips pulled back as it growled. Karen rode us closer and closer to the monstrous beast. And I glanced back at him and Persephone in alarm. Neither of them looked concerned in the slightest. "Aren't we going to stop before we get too close to that monster?" I asked them, scooting as far back in the boat as possible.
"That monster is Cerberus,"
Blake said, pulling his sword out and raising it to fight.
"The guard of the gates of the underworld. We can't get into the underworld without passing him."
"That's true," Persephone said. "But you need to put away your weapon."
Blake looked back at her like she was crazy, his sword still up and ready to fight.
"I am the queen of the underworld," the goddess reminded us. "Cerberus answers to me, and I command you to put down your weapon. Having it out will accomplish nothing but instigating the dog."
Blake glanced back at Cerberus, and after a few more seconds, he reluctantly sheathed his sword. Now that we were closer, I saw collars around Cerberus's three necks, each one connected to chains that bound him to the gates. He pulled on the chains, but they didn't budge. And despite Persephone's claims that the dog listened to her, his growling and salivating hadn't stopped. I didn't think she would lie to us, but why was Cerberus still looking at us like he wanted to kill us? Then Persephone pulled something out of her pocket, three pieces of lotus fruit. I recognized the cherry-sized fruit from the time I'd spent on the land of the lotus eaters a few weeks ago during our quest through Greece. She held the fruit up, and all three of Cerberus's heads stared at them and sniffed. His eyes glazed over at the smell of the snack.
"Sit,"
Persephone commanded, her voice stern. Cerberus plopped his butt on the ground, his tongues lolled out of his mouths as he panted in anticipation of the treat. Dog breath invading the air so strongly that I held my hand to my nose to avoid inhaling the stench. His giant tail wagged with so much force that I could feel the breeze on my face. Karen docked the ferry on the side of the river, and Persephone tossed the pieces of fruit up at the dog. His mouths caught them easily. Once all three heads finished eating, he lay down and closed his eyes, snoring in seconds.
"Works every time."
Persephone smiled and hopped off the ferry, wiping her hands on the sides of her dress.
"Dogs are much more sensitive to lotus fruit than humans."
Blake and I followed Persephone off the boat, tiptoeing around the sleeping dog until we were gazing up at the towering gates of the underworld. A shiver passed through my spine at the sight of them. They were black iron, twisted and warped, and as tall as a house. Beyond them was a brown, mountainous wasteland. There was no sun or moon, only a dim, tawny light blanketing the area, as if the entire realm was perpetually in a gloomy, cloudy day.
"Don't look so depressed," Persephone said. "The underworld is not as awful as it initially seems."
She stepped up to the gates, and as if they sensed her presence, they creaked open to let us in. She walked through, and having no other option, Blake and I followed her lead. Once we were far enough inside, the gate slammed shut behind us. I whipped my head around and stared back at them in panic. Even though Persephone had sworn on Zeus that she would return us to Earth, I felt trapped. What if something went wrong? What if we ended up stuck here forever? I used to be comforted by the idea of the afterlife, but this wasn't what I'd imagined. Now that I was seeing what came next, I never wanted to return here again.
"What now?"
Blake asked, zeroing in on Persephone.
"When can we speak to Hades?"
"Normally, souls that enter the gate must follow the path up the mountain,"
Persephone said, pointing to the tallest mountain in the distance.
"Once they reach the top, they face the judges, who place them in an appropriate realm of the underworld. But you are not dead, so you are not here to be judged. Yet. And now that we've entered the realm where I'm queen, I can access my full powers and transport you to the palace."
"Great." I looked around the barren land surrounding us, wondering if the palace would be just as depressing. But how are we getting there? Didn't you say that portals can't be created in the underworld?
Just take my hand and close your eyes, she said, holding out her hands for us to take. I'll take care of the rest.
Chapter 42. I reached for her hand, and the moment I closed my eyes, a comforting warmth filled my body. Everything that had been weighing me down vanished. I was floating, nowhere and everywhere at once, and I wished I could remain that way forever. Seconds later, the warmth vanished, and my feet were on solid ground again.
Open your eyes, Persephone told us. We have arrived.
I did as she said, and my mouth dropped in awe at the beauty of the room around me. Hardwood floors, plush rugs, gold-paneled walls displaying magnificent artwork, tall carved ceilings, a burning fireplace, a dazzling chandelier, and colorful antique furniture fit for a queen, including a grand piano. Floor-to-ceiling windows lined the far wall, their curtains drawn. Persephone clapped her hands twice, and the curtains opened, revealing the bluest lake and the clearest sky that I'd ever seen. Bright flowers and trees bursting with fruit surrounded the lake. If I didn't know any better, I would think I was gazing upon Eden itself. Blake was also taking it all in, looking equally impressed. Where are we? I asked Persephone, because surely we weren't in the underworld anymore.
We're in my sitting room in the palace, she said. Hades is not expecting visitors. He doesn't even expect me to return until the fall equinox. Since my chambers are empty during my 6 months on Earth, I thought this would be the safest place to arrive so we didn't take anyone by surprise.
It's beautiful. I ran my fingers along a nearby end table. There was no dust on it at all. But are we really still in the underworld? It looks nothing like where we first arrived.
Yes, we're still in the underworld, Persephone laughed. My chambers overlook the Crystal Lake in Elysium. Hades wanted me to be comfortable in my home here, so he ensured that my rooms overlooked the lake. It's the best view in the entire palace. Better than even the views from his own rooms.
That was kind of him, I said, although I was surprised, since kindness wasn't a trait I expected from Hades. So, Elysium is a part of the underworld?
There are four realms in the underworld, Persephone explained. Think of the realms like continents. As I mentioned earlier, all souls that enter the underworld must face the judges, who place them in an appropriate realm. Tartarus is for the worst of the worst. The Fields of Punishment is for those who broke the law and committed crimes in their life. Asphodel Meadows is for those who were ordinary and mediocre, and Elysium is for the heroic souls who achieved greatness in their lives, especially those who are related to the gods.
So Chris might be in Elysium?
Blake asked, and I swallowed down tears at the mention of his name.
I'm not supposed to tell you this.
She stepped closer to us, glanced around the room, and lowered her voice, as if letting us in on a huge secret.
But I have it on good authority that Chris is in Elysium. Hypatia is there as well. Their heroic action saved the world from Typhon. The decision to send them to Elysium was an easy one, and they are incredibly deserving of their places there.
Thank you, I told her, for telling me. It means a lot. I wiped away a tear and looked back out at the lake. Do you think we might see them out there?
Elysium is a large realm, she said. Not as large as Asphodel Meadows and the Fields of Punishment, but it's larger than any continent on Earth. You will not see them while you are here. But you're a daughter of Apollo. Continue on the path you're on now, and you'll surely join them in Elysium when your time comes. It looks like a great place to be,
Blake said, joining me at the window.
I'm glad I'm here to see it now.
I opened my mouth to add that he would end up in Elysium as well, since he's also a descendant of the gods. But then I closed it. Because if Blake sacrificed himself to Kerberos, he couldn't end up in the underworld of Earth. He would end up in the underworld of Kerberos. In the underworld of Kerberos, nothing like Elysium existed. It was eternal hell for everyone. Hopefully we can speak with Hades as soon as possible, I told Persephone, since the sooner we spoke to Hades, the sooner we would be able to speak to the Oracle. When can you tell him that we're here?
Right now, she answered. I'll go find him. Once he's ready, I'll retrieve you from here and escort you to his throne room.
She closed her eyes, and in a burst of warm light, she was gone. Chapter 43. Silence descended upon the room after Persephone disappeared. It was so strange. For the first time since we'd officially started dating, I had no idea what to say to Blake. So I walked across the room and sat down at the piano, laying my fingers on the keys and starting to play. This was the most exquisite piano I'd ever seen in person, and the melody flowed from my body. My favorite song from the musical, The Phantom of the Opera. It was the show my mom had starred in back in college, the show that Apollo had attended when he'd heard my mom sing for the first time. It was crazy to think that if he hadn't attended the show that night, if he hadn't heard my mom sing and spoken to her as she left through the stage door, I never would have been born. Now, I cleared my mind, thinking only of the music. For the past few months, all I'd been doing was training and fighting. But music was in my blood, too. And sitting at the piano, letting the notes flow from my body, made me feel more relaxed than I'd been in weeks. Once I finished the song, Blake sat down next to me on the bench, the side of his body pressing against mine.
That was beautiful,
he told me, his eyes soft and intense.
Once this is all over, I hope you have time to play piano more often.
Thanks. I pulled my fingers off the keys and turned away from him. Because after all of this, if I did play piano more often, he wouldn't be there to hear it. With Blake gone, I feared that the music and my soul would be gone too. But before either of us could say another word, Persephone appeared in the middle of the room. She changed out of her green dress. Now she was wearing a red velvet gown with a cinched waist and a low neckline.
I've told Hades that you're here, she told us, holding her hands out for us to take. He's ready to speak with you, and he's waiting in the throne room.
Chapter 44. We took Persephone's hands, and she teleported us into a room much larger and more intimidating than her sitting room. The royal throne room. Looking around, I felt like I'd traveled back in time to medieval Europe. The ceiling was as tall as the one in the new Alexandrian library, and it was held up by thick columns and curving archways. The room was dark, lit up only by torches that lined the walls, and two stone fountains bursting with fire instead of water. Red carpet rolled down the room and up the steep steps, leading up to two magnificent thrones. A handsome man with jet black hair, wearing dark jeans and a black leather jacket, already occupied one throne. He had the chiseled look of a classic star from the early days of Hollywood, but his skin was as pale as a ghost's, as if he was dead himself. I assumed he was Hades. Persephone glided up the steps and took the throne next to him, falling naturally into her seat by his side. But with her tan skin and red dress, she looked so alive next to him.
almost as if she were out of place in the underworld itself. I waited for one of them to speak, but they both stared at us, saying nothing. Were we supposed to kneel? Bow to them? It would have been nice if Persephone had given us a heads up about the protocol before dropping us at the foot of Hades' throne. Now, I just shuffled my feet, my eyes darting around as I searched for a hint about how to proceed. Blake glanced over at me, gave me a reassuring nod, and walked to the bottom of the steps. I tried to remain steady as I followed him, hoping my nerves didn't show.
"I'm Blake Carter, descendant of Ares and wielder of fire," he said,
the fire in the fountains blazing higher as he spoke.
"And this is Nicole Cassidy, daughter of Apollo, and conductor of spirit."
"I know who you are."
Hades held his gaze with ours, his voice steady and low.
"And I'd like to know what you need to ask me that was important enough for my wife to bring you here during the months she's free to spend up on Earth."
"How much do you know about the threat of the portal to Kerberos opening and the Titans returning to Earth?" I asked him.
"I may live in the underworld, but I'm not completely cut off from Earth," he said. "I know about you and the other elementals, and I know of your recent feat of defeating the monsters that have escaped from Kerberos, including Typhon himself. Impressive achievements, I must say."
"Thank you," I said, my cheeks flushing at having been complimented by a god.
"However, I wasn't expecting to meet you until your mortal bodies passed on and your souls joined those of the other heroes in Elysium,"
he continued.
"I assume that for my wife to have broken protocol and transported you here now, that you need something from me of much importance."
"Yes," I nodded, "we do."
"Then get on with it," he said. "I don't have all day."
Persephone said nothing from her throne next to him, although she did give a small nod, encouraging me to continue. "You just said that you expect to see all of us elementals in Elysium once we officially arrive in the underworld," I said, his recent statement giving me the idea to approach it from this angle. "So as the king of the underworld, I assume you feel it's of utmost importance that every soul goes to its proper realm after death."
"I do,"
he confirmed. "So do I," I said, pausing to emphasize that Hades and I agreed on that key point. "But Nyx told us that the only way to seal the portal to Kerberos is for either Blake or Danielle to bind it from the Kerberos side. Once they do that, they'll be stuck in Kerberos forever. And if they die in Kerberos, they'll end up in the underworld there, serving an eternity in an afterlife that they don't deserve. I was hoping you could help us make sure that doesn't happen."
"I see how that's problematic,"
Hades said, rubbing his chin with his thumb.
"But I don't think there's anything I can do to help. The portal needs to be closed. If it isn't, the consequences will be deadly for everyone on Earth and in the underworld. If Nyx told you that that's the only way to seal the portal, then she's telling the truth."
"And I'm prepared to make that sacrifice," Blake said, the reminder ripping my heart into pieces all over again. "Unless there's another way to seal the portal that even Nyx doesn't know about."
"Nyx is an ancient primordial deity, older than all but chaos himself,"
Hades said.
"If there were another way to close the portal, she would tell you."
"Unless there's another way that even she doesn't know about," I said, narrowing my eyes in challenge. Hades raised his eyebrows, and I'd clearly piqued his interest.
"And who, young demigod, do you think knows more about the universe than Nyx?"
he asked. "The only person in all of history who can clearly see the exact future." I held his gaze, each word coming out strong and confident. "The Oracle herself."
Chapter 45. Hades nodded, giving us a knowing smile.
I see now why you ventured down to the underworld. You think the Oracle will tell you something that Nyx couldn't.
We think it's a possibility, Blake said. We don't have many options. This seemed like it had the best chance of working. Because if there's another way to close the portal, the Oracle would know, right?
She would,
Hades said.
But when the Oracle was alive, she was merely a mortal. Now, she's a spirit living out her afterlife in Elysium. She can still see the future, but going to her with this question could be an insult to Nyx herself. And as I understand it, Nyx has watched out for you and supported you throughout your entire journey. Do you truly wish to risk insulting Nyx by questioning her knowledge?
We're not questioning her knowledge, I said. I trust that Nyx is being honest with us about what she knows. But if the Oracle knows something more, I just couldn't live with myself if we left any possible stone unturned.
I understand that you see it that way.
His eyes were far off, and I could practically see the wheels in his brain spinning.
However, Nyx might see it differently.
Then that's a risk we're willing to take,
Blake said.
You might be willing to take it,
Hades said.
But am I?
It's just one question, I begged. Let us see the Oracle, and I promise you won't see us again until our souls come to the underworld to live out our afterlives. A shadow passed over Hades' eyes, and I feared he was about to say no.
This is too complicated of a decision to make on a whim,
Persephone finally spoke up. She turned to Hades, her gaze soft and loving, and placed her hand on top of his.
Perhaps we should sleep on it and come to a decision in the morning.
You'll stay here tonight, even though it's one of the months that you're allowed on Earth?
He watched her carefully, waiting for her response.
Yes.
She rearranged her hair so it perfectly framed her face, and her lips curved up into a small smile.
I'll show Blake and Nicole their accommodation, and then I'll meet you in our room.
Very well.
He nodded to her and looked back at us.
I'll send Persephone to find the two of you in the morning, and she'll bring you to me so I can inform you of my decision.
And then, without waiting to see our reaction, he disappeared. Chapter 46.
I would walk you to your room so you could see more of the palace, but it's best that I don't lose any time that I could be spending with Hades, Persephone said, holding out her hands for us to take.
Come, I'll make sure you're situated in your room, and then I'll come get you in the morning, once Hades has reached a decision. We took her hands and she teleported us to our room. I opened my eyes to the sight of a huge canopy bed, with a red comforter that looked as soft as velvet. Fit for royalty, the bed was magnificently carved, as were the nightstands, chairs, and tables. I turned and saw a buffet spread across the wall near the glowing fireplace, with food and drink ready for us to eat. It smelled delicious, and my stomach growled, reminding me that it had been a long time since my last meal. But I kept glancing back at the bed, because despite its size, there was only one bed. Warmth rushed to my cheeks, and I wrung my hands together, unable to look at Blake. We'd never spent the night together before. In fact, I'd never shared a bed with a guy. Ever. Perhaps I should ask for my own room? But I didn't want to sleep alone in Hades' castle. And despite how upset I'd been at Blake since he'd volunteered to sacrifice himself to Kerberos, I trusted him. So despite my trepidations, I said nothing.
There are night clothes in the dresser, and a private bathroom through the door, Persephone said, pointing to each of them. I hope these accommodations will do. It's rare that we have visitors, but apart from Hades' room and my room, this is the nicest in the castle. It's beautiful, I assured her, since it was. And thank you for doing all of this for us. I don't know why you're helping us, but I really do appreciate it. Without your help... I glanced at Blake, unable to say more without risking bursting into tears, and turned back to Persephone. I'm just glad we might be able to learn about another option.
I'm happy to help.
Persephone walked to the buffet and picked up a pomegranate, looking down at it sadly.
I respect Hades very much, and after all the time I've been forced to spend with him here in the underworld, I do love him as a partner and as a co-ruler, she said, lifting her gaze to look back at us. But I'm not in love with him. I never have been, and I don't think I ever will be.
She took a deep breath, replacing her melancholy expression with a small smile.
Like the other Olympians, I've been following your adventure since the night of the comet. So much hinges on your closing the portal. And as an observer, I've also witnessed the love between the two of you. Your love may still be blooming, but it's the type of love I always wished I had myself. I'll never have it. So it's my pleasure to do everything in my power to assist you in your quest to not be separated for all eternity.
You're able to see what's happening on Earth from the underworld?
Blake asked her.
Yes,
Persephone nodded.
Hades knew how much I missed my family during the 6 months I'm required to spend here every year. So centuries ago, he provided me with a mirror that allows me to watch what's happening on Earth. It's a one-way mirror, so those I'm watching can't see me. But it's better than not being able to see them at all. It helps make my time here more bearable.
That was kind of him, I said. He seems to care about you a lot.
He does, she agreed, placing the pomegranate back down with the other fruit. But love, true love, can't be forced. It either exists or it doesn't. It's rare to find love that's true. And even if someday I did find it, I can't see how it would work out given my current situation. So I make the best with what I have. And helping others, especially two young people in love, makes me happy. That's why I'm helping you.
Thank you, I told her. I'm not sure what I could ever offer of equal value that you would want, but someday in the future, I hope I'll be able to repay you.
Please don't feel as if you owe me.
She brushed the idea away as if it were silly and headed to the door, resting her hand on the knob.
Now, before I take leave, is there anything else you need?
Not that I can think of, Blake said. But I do have one last question.
Chapter 47.
Yes.
Persephone watched him closely, waiting for him to continue.
This food looks delicious,
he said, motioning to the buffet.
But I've been studying Greek mythology for as long as I remember. An important rule I learned is not to eat or drink anything while in the underworld. Doing so can get a person stuck down here forever, just like what happened to you when you ate the 6 pomegranate seeds. And were forced to spend 6 months of every year here because of it.
He glanced at the fruit that she'd picked up earlier.
Will the same thing happen to us if we eat or drink anything laid out for us tonight?
I swore upon Zeus that I would return you to Earth when you request that I do so, she said. That oath supersedes the law that those who eat in the underworld must stay in the underworld. Plus, I am the queen. If I wish to break the law, then the law will be broken. So please, eat. It wouldn't do to have you go hungry while you're here.
Thank you, I said, and relief washed over me, since I was starving, and the food looked delicious.
Now, Hades is waiting for me, so I will take my leave, Persephone said. I will see you in the morning.
A warm light surrounded her, and she was gone. So, I looked around awkwardly, not knowing what to do. Blake and I hadn't been alone.